And then you will see the book of Malachi. And we're going to be looking at verses 6 to 14 today. How many of you have fake book? Anybody have fake book? You can call it Facebook. We call it fake book. You know why we call it fake book? Because it gets people at their highest moments. It's the highlight reel of their lives. Ben helped me figure that out as we were talking through social media. It's the highlight reel. You know, everyone, it's like the highlights of their lives. You know, I'm having a coffee with my son, the highlight, you know, we're smiling, you know. My son just got a base hit, you know. You don't put that he struck out three times. You just put that he got a base hit. Nobody wants to see that he struck out three times. They want to see just the highlights of our lives. Everything is all highlights. Hey, they look the best, and, you know, in Photoshop and all these things that people use before they post a picture. And I've never used that stuff. I don't know how to use, but I know that some people, you know, they take that and they crop the picture and they make the face. I don't know how, maybe I need to do that, but yeah, you know, they make the face look better and the body looks slimmer and the muscles look bigger, you know what I mean? And they put it out there and be like, wow, this guy looks good, you know? And really that's not who they are. And so, I don't know if you know this, but in 2020, a new app, a new social media, a new thing came out called Be Real. And in this thing, Be Real, these two people, French people, what they decided to do is they want to get people when they're real. Forget about this fake book stuff. They want real. And so they don't tell you when it's going to be, but in a 2-minute period, a couple of times a day, it's going to come up and you got to take a picture of who you are, where you are, right? No time for makeup, no time to fix the hair, no time to put the muscles on. Just see who you are for who you are. Be real. And you know how long that lasts? It started to, in 2022, it started to gain. People started to, but then after 2022, people lost interest in it. Do you know why? Because nobody wants to be real. People like being fakes. They like other people seeing them at their best moments. They don't like people seeing them when they're vulnerable and who they really are. When their hair is not combed. Some don't have to worry about that, but some do, you know. Or when they're not so neatly dressed. Or when their kids aren't smiling. And they're crying and mad and angry. Take a picture of that and put that on Be Real. And so it started to lose, and now in 2024, it's not as popular anymore. Only 4 years, and nobody wants to do it. I heard of a guy that was on a date and he went to KFC and he goes to KFC and they give him a bag and he goes to the beach with his date, and as they open up the bag, instead of being food in there, there was money. And they look at it, oh, they accidentally gave us a bag of money. We got to return this. So they went back to KFC to return it. And the people were so excited. Thank you, the manager said. Oh, nobody would do that. Please, let us take a picture of you. Let us tell people. Let us put it in a publication. The guy goes, no, please. And they go, oh, wow, how modest you are. Why don't you want us to take a picture of you? Why don't you want us to put it in the paper? He goes, I don't want you to, because this girl next to me is not my wife. He was with somebody else. Right? He was with a cell phone. Why is it hard for us to be real? Why is it hard for us to be who we are before God? I want you to look at verses 6 and on, because at this point, God is going to confront the people for being fakes. And he's going to tell them what they need to do to be real. This is a wonderful passage of scripture. He's gonna tell them, this is, you can't live on the outside. You can fool God, you can fool other people. I mean, not fool God, you can fool other people, you can fool people around you, but you can't fool God. So here's what you need to do. Here's how you can be real before God. Now notice this in verse 6, he's gonna mention this. He starts it off by saying this: a son honors his father, and a servant his master. He's gonna talk about earthly relationships. And really what he's saying this is, a son should value his father. There should be value there. He should consider the father as significant. I know that we live in a world here today that this is foreign. That people, they talk to their fathers like anything. They say anything they want about their dads, and they don't hold value to their fathers. Now, here's why we do that. Because we believe in performance more than position. And I'm not minimizing performance, but he doesn't say honor fathers who are great fathers. He says honor fathers because they are your father. That's the position. That's who they are. And so instead of just honoring people because of their performance, we honor them because of their position as well. And so he's saying bring value. But really the Hebrew word here in verse 6 is glory. He's saying a son brings glory to his father. He brings glory to him. He has value to him. He treasures his father. And not only that, a servant, his what? His master. But watch what the Lord says here in verse 6. He goes, if I'm a father, where's my honor? Where is the value there? Where are people bringing glory to me? If I'm a father, why aren't people glorifying me? And then he says this, if I'm a master, where's my what? Respect, or literally, where is my fear? Where is the fear of not pleasing me? I was telling this in the first service that when we got back to the States in 2015, my father-in-law sent me to go get pancake mix from the grocery store. Well, in Argentina, pancake mix is not like it is here in the States. And when I got to this grocery store, there was all kinds of different pancake mix. Which one does my father-in-law want? I was all nervous. And he's like, he told me exactly what he wanted. And I remember, I didn't get what he wanted. And I show up to the house, and I'm all happy, you know what I mean? I went and I got the stuff, you know, and I show up. And my father-in-law, you know, he's a very nice person. You know, what is this? That's what you wanted. No, I wanted Bisquick. Oh, I don't even know what that is. But I'll tell you one thing. When I was walking up and down those aisles before I bought something, I was thinking this. I don't want to displease my father-in-law. I don't want to hurt my father. He sent me to do that. I don't want to do anything to hurt him. I don't know what would do. I was all nervous. Help me. I don't know what to do. And I still did it wrong. When somebody fears God, they're living a life. They're not scared that God's going to beat them up. They just don't want to bring something to him that won't please him. And what he's saying here in verse 6, he's saying, if I am a father, how are you holding me with value? If I am a master, where is my fear? He says here in verse 6, but you say, O priest, you despise my name. But they get like teenagers. How have we done that? How have we not valued your name? How are we not doing what you want us to do? How are we not being real? Oh, thank you for asking. He's saying, how can we be real before you, God? How can we really have a heart for you? Well, he's going to tell us here in verses 7 and on. Here's how we can be real with God. The first thing that we're going to see here in verse 7 is that we got to give God our best, not leftovers. Watch this. If we're going to be real with God, he wants our best. He doesn't want just leftovers, the secondary. Look at this here. He says here, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. In other words, what they're doing here is they're not sacrificing in a way that brings honor and glory to God. They're giving God not the best. They're giving God blemished animals. They already know in the Old Testament that if you do that, you're dead. By the way, Aaron's sons did that and God killed them. They're offering something that's not their best. They're giving defiled food. What kind of defiled food? Look at verse 8. He says here, you are presenting the blind for sacrifice. You are presenting the lame and the sick. You're not giving God the best. You're giving God leftovers. You're not serving the Lord with all your heart. You're just giving him something and saying, God, you should be pleased with it. Now, the Lord doesn't mess around. I love verse 8. He gets a little sarcastic. Maybe Moachi is Italian. Amen. Watch this here. Look at what Malachi says here. He says here, look at this. He says, He says, but when you present it in verse 8, the blind for sacrifice and the lame and the sick, is that not evil? He says here, and look at verse 8, he says, why not offer it to your governor? Try that with somebody else. Try bringing a sick animal to somebody's house where you're going to have a feast and say, hey, here's my food that I bring for you. Try bringing spoiled eggs or something there and saying, hey, are we going to eat together? Let's try eating this together. Try doing that with somebody who is human. See if they like that. Do you think they'd be happy? Try bringing, going over to somebody's house, they invite you to eat, somebody important, and you bring a meal that's a week old, that's nasty and dirty, and say, hey, we're going to eat this. Try it. Would somebody be happy with that? Try bringing fish to my house. You know what I'm going to say to you? Sorry, I already ate. I'm not hungry anymore. Try doing that with a governor, he says. Back then, the governors would invite people over and people would come to their table and they would bring the best things to the governor. You don't want to mess with a governor. You want to make sure that the governor is pleased. You want to give your best to a governor. Isn't it amazing that we want to give our best to certain things that really don't matter, but we give leftovers to God? We spend time on things that value us and we give our best energy to that and we get excited about that and we do things for that. But when it comes to God and serving Him, He gets leftovers. He gets the worst of us. We struggle all throughout the week and we give our best to those things and then we get to serve God and we just give Him, try that, He's saying. Try going to work and doing that. Try doing those things with your earthly people. You would never do that. He says in verse 8, he says, but you present the blind for sacrifice. Is that not evil? You present the lame and the sick. Is that not wrong? Is that not evil? Why not offer it to the governor? You would never do that. Would he be pleased with you? Oh, no. Would he receive you kindly? No, he wouldn't, says the Lord of hosts. Now look at verse 9. See, here's what we try to do. We give God our leftovers and we think that God is pleased and we try to smooth God over and we try to butter God up. This is kind of fun here. Look at this in verse 9. They're trying to butter God up. Verse 9, but now will you not entreat God's favor? In other words, they're going to God and they're buttering Him up and they're saying, Lord, we gave you the blind and we gave you the sick, we gave you the lame. Aren't you happy with what we've done? I mean, we served you, we sacrificed you. Aren't you happy with these things? They're trying to butter God up so God will bless them. Aren't you happy, Lord? And look what it says here in verse 9. But now you will entreat God's favor that He may be gracious to us. In other words, you're going to come to God and say this. All right, God, I have no time for you. I have no time to read the Bible. I got no time to pray. I got no time to serve you. I got no time to witness for you. I got no time to live as a living sacrifice for you. But God, bless me anyway. Now, we could never earn God's blessings. So I don't want you to think if we go throughout the week and we go to God, all right, now bless me because I had a good week, that He's obligated to bless us. He is not obligated to bless us. But to go to God when we're giving Him our leftovers and saying, God, just bless me. I can care less about you. I don't value you. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to do nothing. But God, just bless me anyway. That is wrong. He's saying here in verse 9, you're going to entreat God's favor. You're going to give your best to Uncle Sam, but nothing to God. You're going to give your leftover to God and you're just going to give such an offering and say God should receive it. You're not going to spend time with Him and live for Him and love Him and serve Him and just go to Him like it's nothing. Are you going to do that? Are you going to think that God is pleased? Verse 10. Now watch this. You think God is pleased? Verse 10 is probably one of the most powerful verses in the whole book of Malachi. Watch this here. He says this. If you're going to live, and me, if I'm going to live this way and just give God my leftovers and not give Him my very best and what I do for Him, here's what we should do. We should shut down Whitefield Community Bible Church. We should just shut it down. I should just say, well, thank you so much for coming today. This is the last Sunday here. The doors are getting shut. This church is over. No more time. We don't need it. Wait a minute. Where does it say that? Look at this verse. He says, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates. He's saying this. This is a very powerful verse. He's saying, if you want to be a fake, if you just want to go through the motions, if you don't want to really worry about what God really wants, and what God really wants is our hearts. If we're not going to worry about that, we might as well just shut the gates, shut the temple down, he says. The temple down, that's where they do the sacrifice. That's where they worship God. That's where they come. The whole life is about the temple. No, shut it down, he says. He says here, look at this in verse 10. That you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. In other words, he's saying this. If you're just about ritual, if you're just about externals, if you think those things please God and you don't give God your heart, you've missed it. He's about relationship. God wants a relationship with us. He's about the heart. He's not about the externals. We're just going to go on these and just do the outward things and say, okay, I'm pleasing God. I'm coming to God. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm here. I'm opening my Bible. I'm listening. I'm here. I'm doing what you want, God. I'm here. God's saying, you've missed it. It's not about just going there and opening the Bible and saying you're here. He wants you. He wants me. He wants our heart. He's not just looking at the offering. He's looking at the offerer. And if we're going to live our lives just going through the motions and not giving our very best for God, we might as well just shut it down. He doesn't stop there. Because he says in verse 11, he's looking and going to find people like that. In fact, our God is so good, he's going to find worshipers. Watch this. Look at this in verse 11. He says, from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. God will find people that will praise his name. And in every place, look at this, incense will be going up offered in my name. People will pray to me. People will honor me. People will give their hearts to me. People will offer to me. Look at this. And my name will be great among the nations. In other words, he's saying that there are going to be people in the world who are going to give their heart to God and live for God and serve God and be real with God. He's saying if you don't want to do it, he'll find someone else that will. It's kind of like the grandmother making the cookies and the grandkid comes up and says, Grandma, can I help you? She doesn't need the grandkid. She can make the cookies a lot easier without the grandkid. In fact, once the grandkid gets up on that table and starts messing with everything, everything's going to be a mess. But you know what? The grandmother wants the grandkid to be there. The grandmother says, sure, you can help me. Same thing with God. He doesn't need us, but yet he wants us. And he's saying, come, worship me. Be real with me. There's going to be people he's going to find that will be real with him. His name is going to be great among the nations, not just the Jewish people. He is going to be glorified and magnified in lives. So why don't we do it? Now here's why. Look at verses 12 to 14. Here's what happens to us. We get all excited about serving the Lord until we start serving the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's exciting to start a building project until you have to deal with a parking lot. Amen? Right? It's all exciting to come to Jesus and serve God until we really have to serve God. Then it gets a little hard. Look at this here. Look what the people are saying in verse 12. Instead of really seeing who God is and seeing how much of a privilege it is to serve the Lord with all our hearts and be real with God, they complain about serving God. Have you been there? I have. Oh, it's Monday morning again. I gotta start another sermon. I gotta get ready to do this, another week of this. We're in Malachi. Why do we pick Malachi? Can we pick an easier book of the Bible to do? Oh, got to do this again. Up. It's my turn to clean the church. Oh, it's my turn to do this. And all of a sudden, my turn. All of a sudden, it's a burden. It's not a blessing. Have you been there? I've been there. Now watch what they say to God. Look at verse 12. But you are profaning it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled. The table of the Lord is a place where they had fellowship with God. They're saying this is defiled. It's fruit. The food is despised. And look what they're saying in verse 13. But you also say, my, how tiresome it is. In other words, they're saying this, oh man, this is a burden. I got to do this for God. This is too much. I got to offer a sacrifice that doesn't have a blemish. That's too much. It's easier just to give him my leftovers. Oh, how tiresome it is. It's such a burden. Life is such a burden. It is so hard to live life. Have you been there on Monday morning? I got to go through this another week. I got to go on. You know what's interesting about this tiresome word in the Hebrew? It's only found five times. The word literally means it's a nuisance. Wow, what a nuisance it is to serve God. It is so tiresome. I can't believe that we have to do it. See, when we don't see God for who he is and the value that he has, serving him is a nuisance. It's a burden. It's horrible. In fact, look at verse 13 that they actually say before the Lord. This is amazing. And you disdainfully sniff at it. In other words, you think you're above it. I was in one church where everyone had to clean the church except the pastor. Because the pastor was above cleaning the church. No amens? It's kind of a nice church to be at, right? No. When we started a church, I said, you put me on a list of cleaning. Now, I'm not above any service. How can you say, oh, this guy's above this? How can we say before the Lord, I am above this? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to serve God. I'm above that. Give me something that, you know, I mean, I went to school for that I can do. Don't give me these things. No. They look at God's service and they say, oh, we're above this. In fact, look at this verse 13. This is amazing. Not only do they sniff at it and say, well, we're above this, and it's such a burden to do it. Man, I'm so tired of serving God. It's just too much, and they're above it. Look what he says. You bring what was taken by robbery. In other words, instead of giving of their own and sacrificing of their own, they're giving of other people. They're taking that from other people. They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want it to be hard. That's why I don't go to the gym, amen? I don't like going to the gym because it's hard. You go there and you lift up those weights and your body hurts. I would go if it wasn't hard. I would go if they had Big Macs there, amen? In fact, I was telling this in the first service. The last time I went to the gym, everyone's looking at me, looking funny. They're looking, they're staring at me. I'm like, they're staring, oh, I'm like, what are you? I said, next time bring your own pizza. You know what I mean? But you'll get it later. That's a bad joke. But we don't want anything that's hard. We don't want a sacrifice. We don't want it to be a burden. We don't want it hard. We want easy things. And so they're looking at it and they're saying to God, man, you bring what's taken by robbery, what's lame and what's sick, and you bring it to the offering and you say, I should receive that from your hand? How do we stop that? How do we stop looking at God's work as such a burden? How do we stop looking at what God calls us to do and just look down on it and think that we're above it? How do we stop not wanting the sacrifice for God's work? You know how we stop that? By living as a complete sacrifice to the Lord and saying, God, here is my life. Do what you want with me. Some of you watched on the news this week that there were missionaries in Haiti that were killed. They were 23 and 21 years old. The 23-year-old grew up in Haiti, and he loved it. His father had a place where they had a compound, and his father had a church, and his father had a school, and they had a bakery, and they would feed the people, and they would educate, and they would preach the gospel. And so the son, growing up in that, said, you know what, I want to help mommy and daddy. I want to go back and help that. So he went to Bible college. He met a girl. He married the girl, and he brought her back. And then if you watch the video before anything happened to them this week, you see them both painting and holding the children and working in the bakery. And everything is just such a blessing. And look what their father wrote a few weeks before they were killed. He says, "We appreciate Davey and Natalie. They stepped up and have been a tremendous blessing to missions in Haiti and to the Haitian people in this area. They love and help take care of the kids at the House of Compassion. They preach at the Good Hope Church and lead our children's church and our Sunday school." They're busy. "We ask God to provide dedicated people to work with us and allow us to expand our outreach. And Davey and Natalie are an answer to our prayers." And then on Thursday, a gang went after them. They hid in a house. The gang shot through the house, entered into the house, shot the couple, and burned their bodies. The father posts and says, "Our children are now in the presence of God in heaven." What a way to go out. But what got my heart is to see that video a few weeks before they died, of them painting and smiling and holding the children and serving the children and just loving being in the work of God. Because they saw God for who He is. Sometimes we get so bogged down and burdened because we miss the God of the Bible. And people like to take that joy away from us, and they'll say things about us, and they'll criticize, or whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, the serving the King of Kings becomes a burden rather than a blessing. We need to get back to what God wants us to do. Look at verse 14. He ends on a beautiful note. He says this, "But cursed be the swindler." Or we would say in New York, "Cursed be the fake." The fake. Why is he a fake? Here's why he's a fake. Because he has a male in his flock and he vows it. He says to God, "Oh, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give you the best that I have. I'm going to serve you with all that I got." But look at what he does in verse 14. "But sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord." In other words, on the outside, he's fooling people. On the outside, he's saying he's going to give the best. He's even talking to God and saying, "I'm going to give you the best." But really, in reality, he doesn't. He says, "Don't do that." He says this, "I am the great King, says the Lord of hosts. And my name is to be what? Feared." Remember that word? We want to bring pleasure to God. He's saying in verse 14, live a life that pleases God. Amen. And you know how you can do that? By being real. Be real. Realize how worthy He is. And say to God, "I'm going to give you my best. And Lord, I'm not just going to do that with my lips. I'm going to do that with my life." And when things get really hard and they seem like a burden and tiresome and you're just in a routine and all that, remember how great our God is. And that serving Him is not a burden. Serving Him is a privilege. Because He doesn't need any of us. In fact, the moment we think He does, we need to shut these doors. Because we're just going through the routine when He wants the heart. How sad it is to see how many kids grow up in church and they're there and all the externals. And then when they get older, they show their real self. I could care less about, they're playing the part. Don't play the part. There's no time for playing the part. Because you can fool pastors. You can fool church people. But you're not fooling God. Does He have your heart? Does He have your best? Does He have a relationship with you? That's what He wants. Not the motions. He wants the person. Let's take a few moments in our hearts right now before God. And bow our heads. And I can't see your heart, but God can. And let me ask you here today, does he have your heart? Are you fully surrendered to him? Do you have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ? Or are you trying to earn his favor by doing external stuff? Right now where you are, it's time to be real with God. And saying, Lord, I surrender. Whatever you want me to do. I don't want to give you my leftovers. I want to give you my very best. I don't want to look at your work and say, oh, that's below me. Whatever you put before me, Lord, that you want me to do, here I am. Use me. Yeah, it's costly. It's not easy. But Father, you are worth it. God, I pray that that's the prayer of all of our hearts today. It's so easy, Lord, to go through the motions. It's so hard to be real. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today, God, that still hasn't given their heart to you, that today would be the day that they would surrender and say, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want, I am willing to serve you with my very best. I give a lot of my time and energy to things that don't matter, that won't last long. But God, I want to give my time and energy to you too. I don't want you to be second, Lord. I want you to be first. I want you to take over and drive. I want you to be the king of my heart. You are the king of the universe. Father, thank you so much for these words today. It's a tough passage, God. Because we all see ourselves in it. How easy it is to complain. How easy it is to be burdened. How easy it is to say what a nuisance this is in my life, rather than look at the blessing it is. So change our heart, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' precious name and for his glory, amen.